Okay, we are in heavenly places. All right, and let's see, the radio's in here. Yep, okay. We're in heavenly places, page 28. And this one's titled, In the Hands of the Potter. For today's date, of course, being January 22nd. And I like to say the date so that people know that, listen to this years later, if we're still here, when we did this. It was cold outside when we did this. Oh, looks like Mindy's still not done. Let me get that and put it in there. And then when she's done, we'll get the rest of it. Okay. All right. And it starts off with Isaiah chapter 64, verse 8. And it says, But now, O Lord, thou art our Father. We are the clay. And thou art potter. And we are all the work of thy hand. And before we go a little further into that, I want to look up a verse that I've used many times in regards to, like the plastic surgery thing, or even, like sometimes, this is what always amazed me about women, especially young women, with the makeup and stuff like that. But let me just share a verse with you. I think I got it tagged in this software that's supposed to only use on Windows 95. Can you believe it? But it's one of the blessings the Lord allowed me to have, how to figure out computers. All right, Isaiah 45:9 says, Woe unto him that striveth with his maker. Let the potsherds strive with the potsherds of the earth. Shall the clay say to him that fashioneth, Why makest thou, or thy work? He hath no hands. This reminds me of like that movement that they say, we were born this way, the homosexuals. Or Michael Jackson with the continual repetitive surgeries, plastic surgeries. Or, everything just wearing the makeup to the dyeing of the hair and stuff like that. I actually saw something on YouTube the other day. It was like an infomercial. I think it was part of Shark Tank or something like that, because I like watching that. And they showed a clip from a previous one or a future one, or I don't know, but I can't find the whole episode. But I thought, what next? Because, with all the things, and I feel for the women. I mean, this is really, it's just strange how this came about, because only women do this. And I'm not slamming the girls here, okay? So don't get me wrong. I could just see the attack on them because the beauty factor. Women are, of course, a lot more pretty than men. Men are utilitarian. And but this girl commit. You know how you put like women get older, I guess, or guys too, if you don't lift weights and keep yourself toned. They put their arm up, and you got, I guess they call them wings. Like where your arm kind of dangles and hangs there and stuff like this. Well, this girl stands. She's pitching it. She's looking for a way to get $50,000 or $100,000 from the sharks if they give her, if she gives them 20% equity in her company, whatever. And so she shows it and says, okay, see how this is dangling? And then she pulls on something behind her shoulder, and all of a sudden, trim, like a teenager. And all I could picture in my mind, because I didn't get to see the whole episode. I wanted to see how she did it, and I looked for it, and I couldn't find it. I'm just assuming in my mind that she's got some kind of sticky tape on the back of the arm where you can't see it behind the shoulder underneath the clothing. There's a string, and she pulls it and attaches it to something else that's sticky underneath her clothing. And it hides the fact that, she's got a dangling arm. And, again, that's not like plastic surgery or anything like that, but it just amazes me how, some women are moved into that way of thinking. And, but mostly with the plastic surgery. I mean, guys do that too. I've seen some pretty scary, just look online and first search for, plastic surgery mistakes. It's some scary looking stuff. And I really feel for those people too. How can the pot say to the potter, why hast thou made me thus? And so when they say we're born this way, and a lot of people came out, and I did post that one video months ago where these people went into a, I guess they call it a gay bar, and they went in there with hidden cameras. And every single solitary person they talked to said they know they're not born that way. It was a choice they made. And they all, I would say 80% of them, they got the truth out of them. The rest of them wouldn't even talk. But 80% of them said, yeah, they were molested when they were young by someone of the same sex. And so it got them, you know, it was just, they were indoctrinated, if you will, into that. And this is why you see what's happening in the schools today. You know, they push this because they know, you know, the kids, you know, you get them at a young enough age, you can get them to think anything's acceptable. I know I was like that. I was very naive when I was young. So anyway, she goes on to say that in his word, God compares himself to a potter and his people to the clay. His work is to mold and fashion them after his own similitude. The lesson they are to learn is the lesson of submission. Self is not to be made prominent. If due attention is given to the divine instruction, if self is surrendered to the divine will, the hand of the potter will produce a shapely vessel. Yeah, to glorify God, of course. Now, again, we got to keep taking into consideration what she's speaking here. She's speaking to believers and Christians and, you know, the pagans and the atheists and whatnot. They could care less. And that's always been the case all throughout time. And that's one of the reasons I think that David was allowed to go forth in war a lot of times to try to wipe out some of these issues. And because some people are just, you know, that's why David was actually told to kill men, women, and children, because, you know, these people were raised in this way and they're not going to depart from it when they get older. And it always did cause a problem. This is why you see a lot of times when, you know, some issues happen in a kingdom where they won't just kill the king, they'll kill all the king's kids, you know, and so to prevent any kind of revenge 20 years later, you know. Because they know eventually the kid's going to grow up. This is you kill my dad and that's it. I'll see you in 20 years kind of a thing. But anyway, she says the excellence of genuine connection with Christ comes with obedience to the words, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. And the analogy I use in the beginning, of course, is very generic in regards to what she's getting to here, because it's a spiritual change in the believer, whereas the non-believer just sees the plastic surgery and the lift here, the tuck there, the whatever. And the makeup of the whatever the case may be. But she says, the worker who has this experience has an intense longing to know the fullness of love that passes knowledge. His capacity to enjoy the love of God constantly increases. Amen to that. You know, because, like she says, learning daily in the school of Christ, he has a constantly increasing capacity to grasp the meaning of the sublime truths that are as far-reaching as eternity. And see, had I known this in the beginning, I'd have, you know, been chewing a little bit longer during the day on the Bible readings as I do now. But, you know, we all learn in our own pace, of course. And I praise God for that, too, because it's an open book test. We're going to be judged by the light we understand. He's not going to demand we get to a certain plateau before we can even enter into New Jerusalem. You know, look at the thief on the cross. He's a perfect example. But the way he opens it up as you continue on in this path, and especially lately with the way it appears that, and I can only say appears because I'm not setting dates or anything like that, but it certainly looks like the rain's going to start falling pretty heavy pretty soon. Because, I mean, I can literally see the squall lines, if you know what I mean. Because you look at what's going on in the world, the devil is setting up his foundations because he knows that rain's going to start falling. Now, he don't know the day or the hour either. But he certainly knows the signs, and this is why he keeps people out of the Bibles. And that's why it's getting more and more difficult for us when we try to share, and that's all planned too. This is one of the reasons for the latter rain, because it's going to be that much more difficult for us to share this truth with people. But when that latter rain falls, it's going to be so blunt and so plain and so easy to understand, they will literally make the choice for or against it. It won't be anything, you know, we won't be part of the equation, because it'll be all Christ and Christ alone. We're going to glorify him, not ourselves. And those that try to glorify selves, you ain't going to be counting that number anyway. You're going to be part of that bunch. They're going to think that they're all that and never really make it home anyway. So she says, she goes on, he realizes that he is material with which God is working and that he must be passive in the master's hands. You know, just plain trust them. Yeah, you're going to get some tough trials, and you're not going to understand why it's going down the way it is. You're not going to understand why it takes so long for a prayer to get answered, and you're not going to understand a lot of things because you simply can't. I saw an article today where they were saying something to the effect that science just discovered that we actually can hold 10 times more memories than we thought. Well, I always kind of figured that just by looking way 20, 30 years ago. You know, I have pretty good photographic memory, but ask me what I had for breakfast. I sometimes can't remember. Unless you ask me what I had for breakfast 20 years ago, maybe. Because it's, I don't know why. It's easy for me to draw on the long-term memories. And, of course, Scripture. But that's from him. That's John 14:26, just coming to light. But being passive in the Master's hands, I'll be just let go, let God, just let him do what he said he was going to do and just believe him and just leave it at that. That can be difficult, especially for control freaks like myself when I was a younger man. I still have little bits of dross to chip away on that one, too. And I praise God, he's actually helping me. I can see it. You know, I can't just say it and hope I see it. No, I'm seeing it. And that's the way I've always thought, too. You can't preach it unless you live it. You know what I mean? It's very difficult to... I'm echoing?
Yeah,
I'm echoing. Okay, Fran's closing the door. But you can't preach it unless you believe it. And that's why I see a lot of times, this one preacher I used to hang with years ago, he was very seldom would preach the health message because he knew it. He even shared with me. He's the one that introduced me to it. I didn't know it. I had been doing ministerial work for years, but I hadn't gone full time yet. And I didn't know anything about the health message. Well, the Holy Spirit was working with me. I had already quit eating meat. I quit the coffee, you know, the caffeine, and I quit smoking, you know. So the Lord's already working on me there, but I didn't know about the vegan thing and all this other stuff. He did, and he helped me get there, and I praise God for that little signpost that I ran into on my path home, you know, and he was very instrumental helping me get there. But he would never preach a certain message from the pulpit because he couldn't. He didn't experience it. He didn't understand the power behind letting go, letting God. He'll take care of it for you. And so, she says, trials come to him, for unless tested by trial and disappointment, he would never know his lack of wisdom and experience. And see, that's what keeps you humble, too. You think, you know, it's just like a doctor of divinity, and praise God, none of us actually get to that point, because the Lord's choosing us the same way he chose the apostles. He could have gone with the men of the cloth, but you know, these Pharisees and the Sadducees, they were all just, you know, rotten wineskin. You know, they were already bursting at the seams. And so you can't put new wine or the new doctrine, even though it wasn't new. There was nothing new about Christ's doctrine. It was 6,000 years old as far as the planet was concerned, but they thought it was new because they hadn't heard it in generations. Because all this rotten wine, the doctrine of men was being embraced. And so, anyway... The wisdom, the trial and disappointment, you never know it'll... The thing I liked about it is the way you think you've gotten to a certain plateau in your walk, and you know, like a theologian may think he's all that. And they do. That's where they stop. They get to that point where they think, okay, you know, I got alphabet soup after my name. I got all these parchments, lamb skins hanging on the wall. It declares all this education, you know, ever learning and ever coming to the knowledge of the truth. It's because that they're the epitome of that. Because even though some of us have been walking with the Lord for decades, and you go into the Scriptures, and you've read that one verse maybe 100 times in the last few decades, and all of a sudden it's new to you and you understand it better, it really does humble you. Because and I like the way he does that, because it keeps us relying on him. As soon as you get to a point where you think you know it all, well, then you can literally write it down and etch it in stone that you really are as dumb as a bag of rocks, because you put it all on yourself. And then she goes on to say that if he seeks the Lord with humility and trust, every trial will work for his good. You know, because we get trials for two reasons. One reason it's a spanking, one reason it's a growth process. I'd rather have I don't care how hard the trial is, as long as I come out of it smiling. Or even go through it smiling. But she says, he may sometimes seem to fail, but his supposed failure to reach the place where he hoped to stand may be God's way of bringing his advancement. And, you know, and I got to say this, too, because I've noticed this, I don't know, 15, 20 years ago, and the Lord reminds me of it every now and then. I like to share it, especially with babes in Christ, and because especially when they tell me, man, I thought I had it handled. I've been walking with Christ for 3 years, let's say, or 5 years, and I didn't have any issues in this one area for three or four. I was able to fight it off, and all of a sudden one day I fell, and I just did it, and now I've got all this guilt, and I says, praise God. I says, what do you mean, praise God? I just went through it. Praise God, you just realize you're not as strong as you actually thought you were, huh? You know, take heed, lest you fall, you know, because eventually you're going to sit back and relax like Nebuchadnezzar and just shout out and say, oh, look what I have done. And all of a sudden you're eating grass. You know? And so that's, I love those kind of lessons because it keeps me humble. It lets me realize that, okay, I'm not as strong as I thought I was. And you never really want to think you're strong anyway, because it really is all about Christ. And if you step off that path in any way, shape, or form, that's just plain dangerous, you know. But she goes on, she says, he thinks that he has failed, but his supposed failure means a better knowledge of himself, and I should have just kept reading, and a firmer trust in God. In other words, I thought I was strong, I just realized I'm not, and I've got to hold on to Jesus even tighter now. And so sometimes I praise God for the failures, literally. Because I didn't know I was weak in that area, Lord. I thought I had that handled, and all of a sudden, the stinky little pinky toe situation comes up, and I fall like a house of cards. You know, no matter what it is, I'm not talking whoppers, and I'm not talking little, I'm talking whatever the case may be, just, you know, anything. It could just be a thought. And it makes you rely, it makes you realize you have to rely on him a lot more. You can't skate. You can't go by on the skin of your teeth. I mean, we're at war. You know, you put your gun, you put your guard down for a minute. Look at the Gideon band, or look at the example thereof. You know, Gideon's men. Who were the ones that were chosen? The ones that laid their weapons down and started lapping up that water? Or was it the guys that held on? You put your weapon down for a second. Ooh, it's just open season, man. Target's all over you. You know, darts are flying. So, anyway, he may make mistakes, but he learns not to repeat these mistakes. United with Christ, the true vine, he is enabled to bear fruit to the glory of God. The Lord desires us to be meek and lowly and contrite, yet filled with the assurance that comes from a knowledge of the will of God. He hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, of and of love, and of a sound mind. Anything outside of that, by the way, is from the enemy of souls. And so, finishing, it says in 2 Timothy 1, verses 7 to 9, who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace. In other words, all about him. We can't do anything without him anyway. So it's not about our works, lest any man should boast anyway, right? And so, praise his name, because it's literally all about him. And when you get to that point at the, you know, end of the week, if you will, when we step into New Jerusalem and we put our crowns at his feet, oh, then it's crystal clear then. Because you look at it and you see Joe Schmo down the road's putting down a crown of, you know, stars. It's got, oh man, it's just so many on there. You can't even see, you know, the structure of the crown itself. It's just a ball of light. You come up with this piddly little dot of light, and it's just as much a blessing as it is his that was heavy laden, because it was all Jesus anyway, because Jesus says, okay, I need you to do this, and you did it. Does it matter if he asked you to do it 30 times or once? And another good example, again, is that thief on the cross. It's not like he's going to, well, see, I don't know how the Lord's going to put the stars there, you know, because how many billions of people have read about what he said when he was hanging on that cross that day? And he asked the Lord Jesus to remember him when he went into his kingdom. I mean, that guy doesn't even know how many people got affected by that. You know, I mean, in a few hours, he was dead. And so if the stars are judged by the amount of people that are brought into the truth, well, then he's going to have a pretty heavy star, you know, pretty heavy crown. But again, he only did one thing. So it really doesn't matter. And here's another thing, too, and I'll close with this. if, because some people think you got to get out there and you got to do a ton of work, a ton of work. And since you can hand out one track a day, it doesn't matter. Because you might be the one that the Lord uses to hand the track to the next Martin Luther or the next Ellen White. You know what I mean? If you just do your job, it'll get done. And the Lord will be glorified and we'll be home. Hope and pray you're blessed.